Okay, good evening. Good afternoon, everyone. Evening. So dark outside. You forgot that it's still afternoon time here. The rain is really...
It's raining now?
It's pretty it's darkish. I don't know if it started raining yet, but it's definitely dark.
It's raining until
we finish. So, everybody likes to talk right before Shavuos about Tzuras HaOmer. And you'd think that by virtue of the title of Make It Count, that that's what you'd be expecting. But I got to always keep you guessing. And we're actually not going to talk about Tzuras HaOmer. We're going to talk about something at the beginning of this week's Parsha. Though Shavuos is coming upon us, of course, we know it's a three-day Yontif. And before we even hit Shavuos, we have Parshas Bamidbar. And so I thought we'd take a few moments to talk a little bit about Parshas Bamidbar. The Ramban, in this week's Parsha, asks the question as to exactly why it is that we count. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu decide now is a good time? We're in the Midbar. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu decide that now is a good time for us to count? We're going to talk a little bit about later an unbelievable introduction of the Netziv in his Sefer HaEmek Davar as to why there's two countings in Sefer Bamidbar. That we'll get to in a moment, and maybe it'll be a nice culmination of everything we've done this year because we'll connect it to a Netziv in Parshas Vayichi that will round out our entire discussion of some of the important Yesodos, some of the important lessons that we've learned. But before we get there, I wanted to discuss the Ramban's insight as to why exactly there are HaKadosh Baruch Hu designated this time to be the time in which we count. So the Ramban actually gives three different approaches, a smorgasbord, if you will. So if you don't like one, you have two others to choose from. I'm actually going to do them out of order than the Ramban did, just because I feel like the first approach of the Ramban is the one that spoke to me the most, and unfortunately for you, since I'm the one speaking, I get to choose which things we do first. And we're going to actually go in reverse order. So we're going to go the last one first, and so on and so forth. So the Ramban says, why is it that that we count? And the Ramban says, again, in approach number three, because if you recall, at this point in time, they entered into the desert. It was only going to be a few short days in the desert, and they were going to be entering into Eretz Yisrael. Right, the Shechet HaMeraklim had not yet occurred. There was no reason to believe we'd be wandering around the desert for 40 years at this point. Parsha Shlach is in a couple of parshios. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kiviyachol, knew that the Jewish people were going to be entering into the land of Israel. He knew that like every country, every nationality, every nation, when you're going to enter into the land of Israel, you need to develop certain strategies, military strategies. You need to know how many people you have so you can know and calculate, God forbid, if there are certain people you lose during battle. You want to know where you are right now so that you can kind of gauge the population as you conquest, as you conquer the land of Israel. And so therefore, says the Ramban in his third approach, it'll be like the countdown, in his third approach, the reason why we take a census now, so that way Moshe Rabbeinu, Aaron, HaKohen had an idea of exactly what the population would be, the status of the Jewish people in terms of their numbers as they would enter in to the land of Eretz Yisrael. That is approach number three of the Ramban. Approach number two of the Ramban. The Ramban says that every person in Klal Yisrael should be afforded the opportunity to at least meet with Moshe and Aaron at least once. There are 3 million people, 3 million constituents of Moshe and Aaron. At the very least, every person in Klal Yisrael should have an opportunity to meet the Manhig, the Kohen Gadol, Moshe and Aaron at least once. And as the Ramban describes, so that way they should derive a certain level of zechuyos from Moshe and Aaron after having met them. And so that Aaron and Moshe, were there to ever be an issue with that particular family, they need a zechus, they need a refuah shalema, instead of simply davening in more generic terms, these manhigei Klal Yisrael should be able to put a face to the name. They may see their name on the roster, but they've never been able to put a face to the name. They should be able to now know who it is that they're representing. And so therefore, by having a machatis shekel, requiring every family and a multitude of people in each family, by requiring them to go ahead and give this machatis shekel and literally come to the table and hand it over to Moshe and Aaron. So once you're already giving a shtikl tzedaka, so you have an opportunity. What's your name? Shalalecha. What's my name? Shalalecha. What do you do for a living? How many kids do you have? It gives an opportunity for the Jewish people to, through osmosis, so to speak, derive the zechuyos from having met with Moshe and Aaron, and allows Moshe and Aaron now to have a little bit of a better feel, a little bit better understanding of the place in which each one of their members are holding. And so were they to ever need that advice, were they to ever need tefillah, etc., on behalf of each individual person, Moshe and Aaron would feel in a much better place having gotten to meet each and every person. That's approach number two of the Ramban. However, the Ramban gives to me, what I believe is the best of the three, though who am I to, you know, value each of the approaches of the Ramban, it speaks to me the most, and that is approach number one. And says the Ramban, you want to know why HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it to be that you did this census, you did this count as they're entering into the Midbar, is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the Jewish people to realize how much He loved them. Now we're all familiar with the Rashi, like you count your money that you love. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was counting out of chavivus, out of a tremendous affection for the Jewish people. And so He counted them to show how much He loved them. Says the Ramban, what's all that from? What's all that from? So the Ramban says, you know what He forced the Jewish people to realize? When they took the census, when they went ahead and gave the Machatz HaShekel, they realized, oh my goodness, there's every reason in the world for the population of the Jewish people to have decreased over the last 2 years. The Makos, the Kriyas Yamsuf, Kabbalah HaTorah, Melchemes HaMalek, starvation in the desert without the man, there are a number of reasons that could have suggested or could have served as the catalyst for not an increase in the population of the Jewish people, but in fact a decrease of the Jewish people. And yet, what happened? Our wives had six children at a time in Mitzrayim. We had the man coming down. HaKadosh Baruch Hu protected us ultimately from Amalek. We had the Kriyas Yamsuf that allowed us to survive while all the Egyptians were dumped in the sea. Not only did our population not be decimated when it should have been, could have been, would have been, but in fact, our population has to continue to increase. By taking a census, the Jewish people can take a step back for a moment to be forced out of their, their routine and their role in life and realize how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves them. And by realizing that there are 3 million people where the Kush should have only been 500,000 people or only 1 million people, and yet there's so many people frequenting the world that are Jewish, that should cause the Jewish people to realize pretty clearly that ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves them so much, and that's exactly why it happened against all odds. The reason why I like this approach of this Ramban is because I think, to me, it speaks to me in that we are oftentimes in the trenches. Whatever we're doing in life, we're, going to doctor's appointments, we're working, we're doing communal outreach, we're doing communal services, we're going to see our kids, and we're oftentimes kind of constantly in those trenches forgetting what the incredible tovos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us. We're oftentimes left to lose focus, and instead of focusing on the negatives, instead of losing sight of what's important in our lives, we're always focusing on the nitty-gritty stuff and forgetting about how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves the Jewish people, right? I mentioned that, I speak for myself, I'm a little bit younger than most of the people in this room, I take Eretz Yisrael for granted. I was born way after the Hakamas HaMedina. I was born way after 1967. The thought, the prospect of not simply walking down Rehov Yafo straight through Shar Yafo and right to the Kotel is me is such a foreign concept, that inability to be able to do so. I speak to my mother-in-law who grew up in Eretz Yisrael, who remembers barely ever even visiting Yerushalayim because there wasn't anything to go see, and we take it for granted. Until every so often, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a double take, and I'm not going to get into the political arena of pro or anti our current president, but I don't think there's any denial that we saw history on Monday. That to realize, Rabbi Goldberg actually wrote about this recently, to realize, he's here, Baruch Hashem, to realize that 70 years after 6 million of our brethren, of our ancestors, were completely wiped out and would never in their wildest enough dreams have realized that now Yerushalayim is being recognized by the greatest powers in the world is something unbelievable. Is something unbelievable. And it's sometimes, every so often, it takes one of those monumental historical moments to take ourselves out of it, to realize how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. And that's just a small example, without getting into politics. It's incumbent upon us. We shouldn't have to rely on Hashem to put us in those moments. We should force ourselves. We should put on ourselves, I don't know, every week, once a day, to reflect on the incredible chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides for us. And that, says the Ramban, is why Hashem specifically designated this time. After going through all these trials and tribulations as they're about to enter into Eretz Yisrael, like, take stock of the incredible chasadim and the incredible tovas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for us and realize how much Hashem loves us. That's the Ramban's approach. I wanted to share with you an alternative, I don't want to say approach, but a different angle of this concept of the counting. The Netziv in his Hakdama points out that the nickname to Sefer Bamidbar is Chumash HaPikudim, the Chumash of counting, right? That's why, inaccurately, when you talk about the five books of Moses, this one's called Numbers, even though it's Bamidbar, which doesn't mean that. But we know that there are two countings. There's one in this week's Parsha, and there's one in Parsha's Pinchas. What's Pshat? So the Netziv says that these two countings highlight the transition that the Jewish people were going through pre-Meraglim, through the experience of the 40 years in the desert, and as they enter into the land of Israel. What does he mean? So he says, if you take a look right now, they're entering into the desert, they've received the Torah not too long ago, they're living in an absolute world of ruchnius. They don't have to fend for their own food, they're protected by the Anani HaKavod, and their entire experience, their entire survival is one of spiritual environment. There isn't any materialism in the world. They don't change their clothing each and every day. It grows with them. They don't have to worry about food. They have the man. Everything is spiritual. What happens in Parshas Pinchas? Parshas Pinchas is already at the very end of the 40 years. Most people don't realize that. I know we have the whole Sefer Devarim. That was really over a speech of Moshe Rabbeinu, Chazara of all the Torah before he was going to die. By Parshas Pinchas, it was culminating those 40 years. At the end of the 40 years, they were going to enter into Eretz Yisrael. At that time already, the world was no longer an environment of spirituality, but rather HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to create an environment that was going to transition the people into a world of Gashmi. They were not going to necessarily be able to rely on the man anymore when they entered into Eretz, so they were going to have to work the land. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't just going to perform acts of miracles every single day when they were going to have to conquer the seven nations in Eretz Yisrael. They were going to lose lives along the way. And so therefore, these two countings are to symbolize this transition from a world that was kulo ruchni, a world that was kulo spiritual, to a world that was much more ruchni. In fact, he points out, how do you know? How do you know? What do you see? What do you see in terms of some distinctions that the Torah subtly highlights this transition? So first of all, he points out, Moshe Rabbeinu, by the time Parshas Pinchas came, you don't really hear about his staff anymore, right? The staff that he used to perform more of the miracles doesn't really come up anymore by the time Parshas Pinchas comes. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't performing these major miracles that are supernatural to the naked eye anymore. He's conditioning them to begin to get used to what it means to live the life of materialism, working the land. Here's a better highlighted example, and this is where the Netziv subtly indicates something that we're going to connect back to Parshas Vayechi. It's so beautiful. He says, if you'll take notice, in the count and in the description at that time of the Machane, which of the two Shvatim were set up one ahead of the other? Ephraim or Menasheh? Ephraim is set up ahead of Menasheh in Sefer Bamidbar, in Parshas Bamidbar, when it describes the Machane. Do you know why? Because Ephraim represents Torah, Menasheh represents the materialism of the world. I'll remind you, historically, that if you recall back in Parshas Sefer Bereishis, it was Ephraim who learned B'charusa with his grandfather, Yaakov Avinu. It was Menashe who was the Metargim, who was the translator for Yosef in the political arena. Okay, nothing wrong with either one of those things. You need both, which we'll talk about in a moment. Nothing wrong with either of those things, but Ephraim represented Torah, and Menashe represented the natural world. And so therefore, says the Netziv, it makes a lot of sense that that first counting in that era, in that tekufa, when the world is kulo ruchni, who should take precedence over who? Ephraim takes precedence over Menashe. However, says the Netziv, if you look at the camp as they're entering into Eretz Yisrael, who's first? Menashe is ahead of Ephraim. It's great to learn Torah, and you got to have it. But you also have to have an appropriate military strategy. You can't be Somech al Hanes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us to simply rely that Hashem is going to save us without putting our Hishtadlus in. Menashe has to take precedence over Ephraim, and that's the reason why around the second counting, as we enter into the land of Eretz Yisrael, Menashe takes precedence over Ephraim. What's beautiful about this Netziv is if you only learn this Netziv in a vacuum, it's beautiful. But there's an incredible Netziv. I don't know if we mentioned it when we learned Parshas Vayechi together, but the Netziv points out, when he talks about Yaakov giving the brachos to Menashe and Ephraim, so if you recall, Yaakov does something very funny. He puts his right hand on Ephraim, but he keeps Menashe on his right knee. And Yosef says, you're making a mistake. And the obvious question is, why is he crossing his hands? Why doesn't he just switch the kids? And the Netziv over there says, you want to know why he does that? Because he wants to show you that I'm machshev both, says Yaakov Avinu. I'm going to put my right hand on Ephraim because at the end of the day, Torah is always going to be number one. But if I were to move them, it would completely negate the value of what Menashe has to contribute to the world. And so I'm going to allow Menashe to remain on my right knee to show it may be 1A or 1B, but it's not 1 and 2. Menashe is not that far behind. You need to have Yaskonim. You need to have people in the world who are going to speak on behalf of the Jewish people, enter into the secular world to advocate for Jewish causes. You can't just have people sitting in Beis Medrash all day. You need to have both. Of course, the Torah is ultimately going to be the number one ingredient. Absolutely, no doubt and no denial. But we can't negate the value of having the Menashe in the world as well. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu in fact validates that very point. That when we're living in the Midbar, when we're living in a world of Ruchnius, okay, Ephraim is going to go ahead of Menashe. 100%. But it doesn't discount the value of where Menashe is. When we're going to enter into the land of Eretz Yisrael, we need to have that person who's going to be, so to speak, down to earth, who's going to understand how to negotiate, who's going to understand how to develop strategic military plans. Without that person, we aren't going to survive. And so that each one of these plays an incredible role. And for that reason, says the Netziv, this is called Chumash HaPikudim, the Chumash of Numbers, to highlight this transition that the Jewish people went through throughout Sefer Bamidbar, initially starting off the Kulei Ruchni existence, and then ultimately transitioning into a balance with Ruchnius, and ultimately the material natural world that ultimately served as the way in which we were able to conquer the land of Eretz Yisrael. So, between the Ramban and understanding why we specifically are counting now, and the Netziv's Hakdom as to why we have to count twice, highlighting that transition. I think there's a lot to think about in this week's parsha from a Hashkafic perspective. Again, I'll echo the sentiments of Rabbi Shabtai, how much I enjoyed learning with everybody this year. And I'm looking forward to many more years of learning together. Have a great day. Good.